Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You're invited to join our family at City on a Hill Church as we bring light to a dark world. City on a Hill is located at 1645 Dahlonega Highway in Cumming. Sunday service starts at 10 a.m. To find out more, visit cityonahillchurch.us. We are City on a Hill Church.
So, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit speaking to us, teaching us, guiding us into all the truth. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you give me utterance, and I thank you that you give every person here, give all of us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And, Lord, thank you that you confirm your word today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 86, verse 15, this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, "But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness." The psalmist is describing, he's saying, he's identifying, he's saying, God, this is who you are. You are a God of compassion and mercy. That's who he is. That's what kind of God he is. That's what kind of God he is. He's a God of compassion and mercy. It says he's slow to get angry. That doesn't say he never gets angry, but he's slow to get angry. Can he get angry? Yeah. You have to do a whole lot to make him angry, but you can. You know, he's slow to get angry. But the Bible says his anger, when he does get angry, his anger is but for a moment. But his favor lasts a lifetime. Isn't that good news? Oh, thank God. Thank God for his favor, for his mercy, and for his compassion, and for his unfailing love and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. But what is compassion? Well, I looked a couple of places in the dictionary. It says that compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. The Bible says God is compassionate. He has compassion. That means he has sympathetic pity and concern when you're suffering. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Compassion doesn't stop with, man, I'm really concerned that you're suffering. I'm really concerned that you're going through this. Compassion is accompanied, it is that sympathetic pity and concern, but it's accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Hallelujah. That's what compassion is. It's not only I feel your pain, but it's, I have such a strong desire to alleviate your pain. Amen. That's our God. I said, that's our God. Amen. Compassion literally means to suffer with. To suffer with. The Bible talks about Jesus in the book of Hebrews as our high priest. It says that he's easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And that's why, that's one reason why that he had to take upon himself flesh. The Bible says there in Hebrews, he was tempted with all in all points as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus can look upon you and me in our situation, and he can identify. He can suffer with us. He knows what it's like. The Bible goes on there in Hebrews to say that talking about the Jewish high priest, that they can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since they themselves are human. Well, Jesus took upon every human characteristic. He was without sin, but he, get this, he could have sinned. So some of you are looking at me like, well, I don't know if I believe that one or not. Jesus could have sinned. He could have chosen to sin. He could have chosen to follow the devil. He could have chosen to sin. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a real temptation. Right? But he didn't. He was victorious at every point. Everywhere, every point where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's why he can identify with us. That's why he can have concern for us and he can identify and suffer with us. And then that compassion, in that compassion, there's a strong desire and motivation in him to alleviate that suffering. Amen. Glory to God. As I said, it means to suffer with. I don't know if you know, if you have seen this or known about this, but one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that there are 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit, or 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts, one of those manifestations is called the word of knowledge. And very often the word of knowledge, see, the gifts of the Spirit, I heard Dad Hagin say this, the gifts of the Spirit work together like the fingers of your hand. We can talk about the word of knowledge here, but it's often working with another gift, gifts of healings. Just like you'd use your forefinger and your thumb to work together to do something, right? And so the word of knowledge and gifts of healings often work together. And one of the ways that I've seen it manifest before, I don't know that I've experienced it personally, but I know people that have, and I've seen it in operation like that, is a person ministering God will give them a word of knowledge concerning someone in that congregation that needs healing, and the person ministering will actually feel the pain in their body. Anybody ever seen that happen? What is that? That's the compassion of God. That's compassion operating where they're actually suffering with. They don't take upon themselves that same condition or disease, but they have that. They have a symptom of that same, that the pain or whatever. And they say, there's a person here, you know, and you've got pain in your right side or whatever, because they're feeling pain in their right side. And many times God ministers that way. The word of knowledge operates that way. It's they're suffering with. The people that intercede, if you intercede and pray for the unsaved, for the lost, it's actually possible to have the same feeling of separation from God as that unsaved person. And I don't know that I've experienced this, maybe just in a small measure, but I know people have in prayer have cried out, "I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost." Well, they weren't lost themselves, but they had that same feeling of separation they were suffering with. What was that? That was the compassion of God taking hold of them. Hallelujah. I want to quote this. This is something that Dad Hagin said. He said, "When that spirit of intercession for the lost is upon you, you'll feel within your own being that you are lost. You take upon yourself the condition that the other person is in. That person is lost, so you feel lost. I've had people come to me many times and say, 'Brother Hagin, I know I'm saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes in the service when God begins to move, I start to feel on the inside just like I'm lost myself.' And they think that maybe I should respond to the altar call." He says, "No, that's intercession," I explained to them. "That's the Spirit of God trying to roll the burden of some lost soul off on someone." And so if you'll take that up and pray, we've shown it before here and referred to it, the little girl at the time when the Brownsville Revival started, I think she was 7 or 8 years old, Whitney, what's the last name? Van is this first name. The children's pastor there. It was the children's pastor's daughter at Lane, Van Lane and Whitney Lane. Little 7-year-old girl, and she would, the spirit of intercession would come on her to pray. All those thousands of people were coming to Brownsville Assembly in Pensacola because revival had broken out, and intercession would come on her and on others. And she would begin to pray and travail in prayer for their souls. And she said one time, her mother observed her one time, she was doing like this, you know, and as she was travailing, she'd groan and travail, and she'd move her arms up and down like this. And the little girl explained later, she says, "Well," she said, "I felt like God showed me that I was pulling people out of hell." And she said, when I would put my hands down, she said, "I would feel pain." She said, "Like the pain the people feel that go to hell." That's the spirit of intercession. That's the compassion of God taking hold of a little 7-year-old girl. Praise God. We need to learn more about this. Not in a seminar, but by experience. Amen. Hallelujah. So compassion Compassion produces action to alleviate the suffering. Compassion produces action. She would intercede. The compassion of God, she identified. She had sympathetic pity and concern for all those people that were going to hell. They were separated from God. They were lost and without God and on their way to hell. And God used her. You know, she would do that. She said, I felt like I was pulling them out of hell. Steve Hill would get up and preach and give the altar call, and hundreds would flood the altar and get saved. Because people had prayed. Whitney and others had prayed and interceded. That was compassion producing an action, that prayer, to alleviate the suffering, bring those people to God. The Hebrew word, rakuam, and the Greek word, remember we talked about that the Greek word for compassion. And last week we talked about, there's a scripture, it says in the King James and 1 John, it says, whoever sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion. And the New King James translates it his heart, but the King James calls it bowels of compassion. It's the Greek word is splankna, which we get our word spleen from. It's like from deep within you, deep in your inmost being. Well, the Greek word for compassion is actually splanknizomai. Now, the splankna is like the word we get our spleen. So from deep within you, the word zomai means to take action. So that action is coming. That action is coming from something deep within you. That's the compassion of God that He puts deep within you to alleviate the suffering. Praise God. So these words, sometimes translated as compassion, also bear a broader meaning, such as to show pity, to love, and to show mercy. To show mercy and to have compassion really are the same thing. When we talk about having compassion, we're talking about showing mercy. Therefore, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Amen. Other near synonyms for compassion in English are to be tenderhearted and to act kindly. To act kindly. Praise God. So let's look at some more scripture here. Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Everybody say, full of compassion. Think about a balloon that you inflate with air, and it's just right on the verge. If you go one more time, it's going to burst. That's God, full of compassion. Full of compassion. The Lord is gracious and He's full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Hallelujah. He's full of compassion and He's great in mercy. That's our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Moses prayed this way back in the Old Testament when he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He prayed this. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Remember he prayed that? And here's how God answered him this way. God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. He said, show me your glory. And then God said, okay, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And then he said this in Exodus 34, verse 5 and 6. And then again, this is out of the New Living. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses in verse 6, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Amen. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. God said, all right, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. And he came by and he came in his presence. The cloud of glory came. And God said, this is who I am, Moses. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I am the God of compassion and mercy. Hallelujah. I am slow to anger and I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Wow. Praise God. That's our God. Amen. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Lamentations, do you know the prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. And he wrote the book of Lamentations after Jerusalem had been conquered and taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and the people taken captive, and the city was burned, and the temple was destroyed. Why? Because for over 400 years, the people had rebelled against God. God was so merciful. God was so merciful. He gave them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. And when they did repent, he would bless them. But then they would go back into their ways and idolatry. And so God said, finally, he had to bring judgment. And even though judgment came, after the smoke had cleared, the city was burned, and there had been many casualties, yet Jeremiah looked around and he said, well, I'm still here, and many others are still here. And he said this in verse 22, he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. God left us a remnant. God left us a remnant. Yes, there were many that lost their lives, and there were many that didn't make it through, but he says, we still have a nation. We're still a people. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail. That means they never run out. They never run out. They never run out. I said they never run out. God's compassions never run out. God's compassions never run out. That when it says fail not, the Bible talks about the widow that had the jar that had just a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. It says the cruse of oil failed not. She every day when she would get up, she'd pour some out, and there was enough for that day. And the next day, it would be replenished. It was a miracle. Well, that's the way God's compassion is. His compassions fail not. They never run out. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's our Heavenly Father. Amen. When we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that Jesus is just like His Heavenly Father. He's full of compassion. Full of compassion. Matthew 14 and verse 14, look at it. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Glory to God. What is compassion? Sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings of others, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Note, when Jesus saw that great multitude, you can imagine how many people in that great multitude were sick, were diseased, were maimed, were lame, were blind. And Jesus looked at that multitude and he saw suffering humanity and he identified with them and he had great concern for them, and something welled up on the inside of him. He said, I'm going to do something about this. And he healed their sick. He is the same today. He is the same Jesus today. And he looks upon you and he looks upon me with that same compassion. F.F. Bosworth, I started to quote from him today, but in his book, Christ the Healer, he has a chapter called The Lord's Compassion. And he talks about that is the greatest motivation for healing. And the greatest thing that will stir faith in your heart is to understand God's compassion towards you. Hallelujah. If you understand how much He loves you, if you understand how He is moved to alleviate the suffering and the pain in your life, that is a great place of where faith can grow in your heart, to where you can receive your miracle, where you can receive your healing. Why? Because you know and you're convinced that He wants to. Faith is not trying to talk God into doing something for you. Faith is understanding how compassionate He is towards you and opening your heart and saying, Lord, I don't deserve it, but You love me and I receive. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying, if You are willing, You can make me clean. He said, Jesus, I know You have the power, but I just don't know if You will or not. I just don't know if You're willing to do it or not. Then Jesus, what does it say? Next phrase. Verse 41, then Jesus, say it with me. Come on, wake up. Get off your phone. Then Jesus, what? Moved with compassion. moved with compassion. Hallelujah. Compassion is action. Amen. Jesus moved with compassion. The leper came and he said, Lord, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. Jesus was moved with compassion. And get this, he reached out and he stretched out his hand and he touched the man that had leprosy. That is a no-no. Anyone that had leprosy had to announce, if they came out, which they weren't supposed to be out in public, they sequestered them away, they quarantined them away in leper colonies to keep the leprosy from spreading because it was highly contagious. And if they did come out in public, they were to cry out, unclean, unclean, get away. And people, I mean, you want to park traffic, you know. If the traffic was too heavy and you couldn't get through, you just say, hey, I'm a leper. Everybody parts. You get to walk right through, you know. No trouble getting through the mall. So, but Jesus, instead of running from the guy, he reached out his hand and he touched him. I love that. He said, you know, what I've got in me is greater than what you got on you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wasn't afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. He was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And we didn't put it on the, I didn't put it in the notes, but the next verse says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Why? Because of a manifestation of compassion. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, plural, not just one multitude, but multitudes. I mean, wherever he went, there was another multitude. And they were full of people that were sick and blind and lame and diseased. Wherever he went, he saw that. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. You know why this church is here? Because of the compassion of Jesus. Because Jesus saw some people that were weary and scattered as sheep having no shepherd. So he said, they need a church here. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus realized when he was on the earth, he was limited to his physical body, wasn't he?
Yes.
He couldn't be in every place at one time. And he saw the need was so great. And he had such a desire. He didn't just say, oh, well, you know, somebody else will take care of them. Oh, well, we don't need to worry about them. We'll just reach the people that are right here. No, he everywhere he went, he saw those multitudes and he said that, and he realized the need is so great. And he had such a desire within him to alleviate their suffering and to bring healing to them and to bring life to them that he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Guys, let's pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send laborers out into his harvest. And we sometimes we stop right there because it's the end of the chapter. But the very next words are in chapter 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. What is that? That's alleviating suffering. Those people tormented with demons, that was suffering, man. He said, he gave them power to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. In other words, he said, I'm going to multiply my ministry here. I'm going to multiply my... Why? Because of compassion. Because of compassion. I did a very poor job last week of trying to share with you this account of John G. Lake when he was in South Africa. I'll read it word for word today so we'll get it right. But John G. Lake, this is in Dad Hagen's book, The Name of Jesus, and he says, John G. Lake, a mighty apostle of God, went to South Africa around the turn of the century, and that would be 1900, not 2000. Okay, so just for reference there. In 5 years, he built 500 churches there. I'd say that's pretty good. That's 100 churches a year. That's a church every 3 days. That's pretty good, huh? The wife of one of the government leaders was at the point of death with terminal cancer. Knowing that Lake taught divine healing, the husband asked him to come and pray. Because of great pain, the woman was taking pain-relieving medicine, but she made the decision to stop. She said, I'm going to throw myself completely over on the mercy of God. I'm not even going to take anything for pain. Lake said, if that's your stand and that's your faith, we'll stand with you. He wasn't telling her not to take medicine. He and some other ministers stayed by her bedside praying 24 hours a day. The only way she could get any rest was for them to pray until she fell off to sleep. One morning, Lake went home to bathe and change clothes. On his way back, within two blocks of the house, he heard her screaming in agony. He rushed back to the house. He stated that as he ran, compassion overtook him. He rushed into the house, rushed up to the bed, and without thinking, he picked up the woman's emaciated body and held her in his arms and sat on the bed and wept with compassion. While he was weeping, she was completely healed. Amen. Every symptom of terminal cancer left. And then Dad Hagin says, I've noticed in my own ministry that when I can yield to the Spirit of God and allow the compassion of Jesus to well up in me and flow out of me, greater healings take place. We have His name, we have His authority, we have His compassion. As He is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10, let's look at that. And I need to get my Bible open because I don't have it in my notes. In Luke chapter 10, you know this story, this account, the story of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verse 30, it says, Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Here's a man lying in the ditch. He's been beaten by thieves. He's been robbed. He's been wounded and stripped of his clothing. And he was laying there half dead. The priest, supposed to be a man of God, goes by and he says, too bad, walks by. A Levite, another man of God, goes by, passes by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. Now the Samaritans, the Jews looked down on the Samaritans because they were half-breed Jews. And they looked down on them. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Notice that. He had compassion. So what did he do? What does that mean? He had sympathetic pity and concern for this man's suffering. And he said, I'm going to do something about it. The priest and the Levite may have said, oh, that's too bad. Man, I hate it that happened to that guy. But they did not allow compassion to move them to do something about it. But this man did. He said, so he went to him, verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, now I need to back up here because the verse that we didn't read back in 29, this guy trying to justify himself, or Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So this is Jesus' answer to who is my neighbor. All right? So we need to keep that in mind as we go. It says, on the next day when he departed, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I'll repay you. So look at what he does. He takes care of him. He bandages his wounds. He pours in oil and wine. He puts him on his donkey or whatever he's traveling on, brings him to an inn and takes care of him, personally takes care of him at this inn. And then the next day when he leaves, he says, well, I think you're okay. You're going to make it. And he goes to the innkeeper and he says, I'm paying for this man to stay here. And you take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I'll be back in a few days and I'll pay you whatever else I need to pay you. You know, to take care of him. So which of these three do you think was neighbor, Jesus said, to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. So again, the Bible says he had compassion on him. And the man answered, he who showed mercy on him. Showing mercy and having compassion, same thing. He said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Now, there's a little bit more behind this. If you allow me to, I'll share with you as well. This is a picture of our redemption. This is a picture of our redemption. It says, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And that's what happened to mankind in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. Mankind fell among the thief. Jesus said, Satan is a thief, and the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That Satan in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, he stripped him of his clothing. Remember Adam and Eve said after that experience, they said, we're naked, we're ashamed because we're naked. They were clothed in righteousness. That was stripped away. Our righteousness was stripped away from us. And then we were wounded and we were left half dead. We were alive physically, but we were dead spiritually, separated from God. But then Jesus is that good Samaritan. And Jesus comes. He says, the Levite passed by, the priest. That's significant of the fact that the Old Testament law and the Old Testament sacrifices couldn't do anything to alleviate our suffering. Couldn't heal us. Couldn't deliver us. But Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came and He bandaged our wounds. And He poured in oil. That's the Holy Spirit. And wine. That's His blood. Hallelujah. And He set us on His own animal and brought us to the end. It says, and so that's a picture of our redemption, and it's also a picture of the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me preach it today, Alan. On the next day, when He departed, He took out 2 denarii and He gave it to the innkeeper. Now, if you know anything, a denarii is like alumni. You know, one is an alumnus and two or more an alumni. Okay, so a denarius, 1 denarius was a day's wage. All right? So 2 denarii would be 2 days' wages. So what Jesus is saying in this, He says, I'm giving you enough for 2 days because I expect to be back after 2 days. 1 day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as 1 day. Jesus has been gone not quite 2 days yet. We're coming up on it. About 30 A.D. He left and went back to heaven. He said, after 2 days, I'll be back. After 2 days, I'll be back. So we're right there. We're close. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But he said, the one who had compassion, He said, go and do likewise. So we're to operate in that same compassion. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there's more to this, but we're running out of time here. I'm trying to figure out if I need to tell you anything else today. Let's do this. Let's go straight to, praise God. Where do you cut this off at? Who'll give me 5 more minutes?
Everybody.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. I got 40 more minutes. 50. Okay. No, I won't do that. I won't do that to you. I won't do that. Let's do this. We'll look at one more. The prodigal son. The prodigal son. That's in Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15. Verse 17. Now, I'm not going to read the whole prodigal son story here. But you know the story. You know the account of the prodigal son. It says, he took his father's, he demanded his father's inheritance, right?
Yes.
Are y'all still with me or did you check out when I said we're about to leave? Okay. All right. He took his father's inheritance. He demanded it. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. You know, I'm going to hit the road. And so his father gave him his portion of the inheritance. And the Bible says that he squandered it. And he ended up in a mess. And he ended up in poverty. And he was working for a man, feeding the man's pigs. And he got so bad that he was fighting the pigs over the slop he was feeding them. And he said, I wish I could have some of that. And then when he got to that point, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. And it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, and he wrote it down. He says, I'm going to prepare a speech to give to my father. And so what am I going to say? I'm going to say, let's see, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'll add this in, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, because man, I've blown it so bad, I'm not worthy even to be a son again. But make me like one of your hired servants. He realized, hey, the hired servants have it better in my father's house than I am. I'm just going to go back and humble myself and just ask him to take me back as a servant. And he arose and came to his father. Look at this now. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and what? Had compassion and ran. Had compassion. I want you to see that picture. And when he was a great way off, his father, why? Because his father would go out there every day and say, today may be the day that my son comes home. Today may be the day that my son comes home. And he's standing at the end of the driveway, and his son's coming down the road, and he says, that's him. That's him. That's him. And he had compassion, and he ran and met him, hallelujah, as his son's coming home. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't run and wring his neck. He ran and fell on his neck. Why, you scoundrel, you wasted all that. You demanded your inheritance. You went out with an arrogant attitude and a bad attitude, and you wasted everything. You know, crawl, get on your knees. No, he ran. He had compassion on him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son unfolds his piece of paper, and he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father says, yeah, that's great. You're back. You're back. He didn't let him finish. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. He didn't say, let's see if we can find something that we were about to donate to Abba House. No, he said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That is our Heavenly Father. That is our Heavenly Father's attitude toward us. That's his compassion. The Lord is gracious and he's full of compassion. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father toward us when we come home, when we come back to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's one thing to show compassion to a stranger that's suffering. Sometimes it's easier to do that than the people in our own household. Why? Because that stranger that's suffering, they didn't do anything to us personally. It's easier to have a sympathetic pity and concern for them because they've not inflicted any pain on you. But here's the case. This son inflicted how many sleepless nights as well as, you know, draining the finances of his father. And yet his father, he's my son. He's coming home. Now, to some degree, natural parents, you have that. You have that compassion. But this is the heart of God. Amen. This is the heart of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't make him like a hired servant. He didn't even let him give the rest of what he wrote down there to say. He said, yeah, that's great. Come on. Come on. You're back. You're a son. You're fully restored. He didn't say, well, we're going to put you on probation. And if you know, if you'll live right for about 6 years, then we will think about, we're going to have a meeting, or the committee will meet, and we might restore you as a son then, or half privileges anyway. No, he immediately restored him as a son. He restored him to full sonship. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. That's his compassion. That's his compassion. Aren't you grateful for it? Hallelujah. Let's stand up and let's praise him. Praise God. Come on, guys. Let's just praise God for a minute here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank God for his compassion. Oh, thank you, Father. Your compassions fail not. Your compassions fail not. Your compassions fail not. Hallelujah. They're new every morning. They're new every morning. They're new every morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Just receive your healing right now. Just receive your healing right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is moved with compassion. Hallelujah. He wants to alleviate that suffering. He wants to alleviate that pain. Hallelujah. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever it may be, he wants to heal it. He wants to alleviate it today. Just raise your hands and receive it from him. Receive it from his bountiful heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive from his generous heart today. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion toward us, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His compassion, His love for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, do a work in our hearts today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as we have freely received and as we do freely receive your compassion, Lord, let us freely give. Let us freely give. Let us freely allow that compassion to flow out of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let that compassion flow out of us to those that would make themselves our enemies. Hallelujah. To those even in our own family that have failed us or that have wronged us. However it may be, Father, let compassion rise up on the inside of us. Let your love and mercy rise up on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let your healing flow. Let your healing flow. Let your healing flow. Let your healing flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your healing flow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preston, may I pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're just going to tap into the compassion of the Lord today. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this young man. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that your compassion surrounds him. I thank you that your compassion heals him. I thank you that it's because of your compassion that every trace of cancer is being driven out of his body now. In the name of Jesus, that every trace of cancer is being eradicated out of his body right now. Because of your compassion, Jesus. Because of your compassion, Lord. Because of your compassion. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says you remove with compassion and you heal the sick. You remove with compassion and you heal the sick over and over again. And you've not changed, Lord. You have not changed. You are still moved with compassion, Jesus. You are still moved with compassion. And I thank you, Lord, for your healing that flows through Preston's body in the name of Jesus. The life of God that flows through his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe something happened just now. I believe something happened just now. I believe something happened just now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know Dad Hagen tells the account of a young lady. She was a young mother in her 20s and had a couple of small children, and she had cancer of both lungs. She was a pastor's niece. It's back in the 40s, back in 40s or 50s, I guess, back in Texas when he was traveling and ministering there. And he had a meeting. A lot of times his meetings would run a couple of weeks and sometimes even longer. And two nights during the week, Tuesday night and Friday night, he would have a healing service and he would lay hands on the sick. And this girl, this young lady, was dying with cancer of both lungs, and she had decided not to be operated on because in that day, she said she knew two women. One had the operation, the other one didn't, and they both died. And she said, "Well, I'm just going to trust God." And we're not saying don't go to the doctor or don't take medical care. I'm not saying that at all. But that was her decision in her situation. And so they had to bring her in on a stretcher. And they brought her into the service. Brother Hagin laid hands on her Tuesday night and Friday night that first week. She was not healed. They brought her the next week. Tuesday night he laid hands on her. Nothing happened. Friday night he laid hands on her. Nothing happened as far as outwardly. You know, no healing. And they decided to go a third week. He said, "I've thought about it often. What if we had not gone on that third week?" They went on to the third week, it was Tuesday or Friday, but it was that third week when she came up again. That was the fifth time that he had laid hands on her. When he laid hands on her this time, he saw into the spirit. Now I'm not saying that because I saw anything. But he had a manifestation of discerning of spirits, and he saw a demon spirit hanging on to her lungs. And he spoke to that spirit, and he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, loose her now. Come out of her." And he saw the demon fall off and run out. And immediately when he did that, she raised her hands. He didn't tell her what he saw. Nobody else saw it. They just heard him say those, that in the name of Jesus, come out of her, leave her, take your hands off of her. And she raised her hand. She had not been filled with the Holy Ghost. She began to speak with other tongues, and she began to declare, I'm free. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Praise God. I said that, and she was. He went back to the doctor, and they said, "Well, we don't know what's happened here, but every trace of cancer is gone. Your lungs are clear. Your lungs are free." She told him exactly what happened and exactly how it happened. They said, "Well, we don't know the fella." The doctor said, "We don't know the fella, but more power to him." And said, if you want us to, we will write you an affidavit and sign it saying that you had cancer of both lungs, but now you're completely healed. Amen. Praise God. And of course they did, and she stayed healed the rest of her life, lived out her length of her days and long life and all that. And I didn't have a vision, I didn't see a demon or anything, but I just believe something happened here. We prayed, we prayed for Preston before, but I believe something happened here as the compassion of God was released. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What a great testimony you're going to be sharing with the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. What a God of compassion. What a God of mercy. Hallelujah.